But today we're going to wrap up the story of Jonah. The story of Jonah. And I heard a story about a little girl. She had come home from school one day, and she was so excited because she had just learned the story of the Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And she wanted to tell her mama about the story. She was so excited. She telling the story to her mama. Of course, mom heard the story, but she wanted the little girl to tell it to her. She's listening. And she got to the place where, you know, the prince kissed Snow White, you know, Snow White sleeping from the poison apple, right? And then she said, "Mom, you know what happened next?" You know, and the mom said, "Yes, I know what happened next." You know, the Snow White opened her eyes, and they lived happily ever after. And the little girl said, "No, that's not what happened. What happened next is they got married. They got married, Mom. And it wasn't a happily ever after ending to the story." And she said, "For us, don't we all wish that every story had a happy ending? But sometimes they don't. Sometimes it doesn't end well." I think about in 2004, and when Carrie and I were newlyweds, and we had a show that we loved to watch. It was on one of the major broadcast channels, and back in those days where if you missed it, there was no on-demand, there was no playback. There was no DVR. You had a VCR. You know, you had a cassette tape, and you record the show if you're going to miss it, right? You set a timer. How many of you remember those days? You make a timer, okay, and then you come home from, you know, to watch it and didn't record because you got the AM and the PM, you know, mixed up. And, and then there was no way to watch it until it comes out into a videotape. And you go to a store called Blockbuster, and you rent it from, you know, and you rent a movie. How many of you remember those good old days, right? Those were the good old days, right? And then maybe some of you would, you know, I always hated when I got a videotape, and I open it to put it in, and someone forgot to rewind. You know, the previous person, and they always have a sticker on there: "Be kind, please rewind." And some of you guys, I know, you were violators. You weren't kind, okay? And so there was a show. And Karen and I, we would make sure that it got recorded. We would watch it. And that show in 2004 took the nation. I mean, it was huge. And the show was called Lost. How many of you remember that show? Lost, all right? I've got, you know, here's the picture of Lost we have that picture? No? There we go. And so that was the cast. You know, it was really popular. And for six years, you know, this show went on. And every season, right, it kept adding a new plot, a new subplot, and another subplot. You know, and it's all fine for the first 3-4 years. And then you get into year number 5, and then they said the final season, and there were so many subplots. And you're like, okay, they got one season to bring it all together, all right? And we're wondering how this was going to happen. Y'all remember this? I mean, we're like, you know, and every week, you know, we got closer and closer to the final episode. You're like, how is this all going to make sense? And then the final show happens. It's done. And if you remember, if you were like me, you were mad. Because the story just stop, and it leaves you hanging. You're like, we don't know how, none of it made sense. And I thought, man, I just wasted 6 years watching this show, and it led me to nothing. Led me to nothing. And I wish the story of Jonah had ended at the third chapter. I wish, because if you remember, in the third chapter, God called Jonah, right, the second time to go to Nineveh. You know, Jonah had been in the belly of the fish in chapter 2. You know, he's running from God, but in chapter 3, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do. He goes to Nineveh. He preached to that wicked city, and the greatest revival that ever happened in the history, in the Bible, in Bible history happened. God changed that city. The people repented. Life was changed. And if the story of Jonah had stopped at the end of chapter 3, then everybody wins. Right? A city is spared from destruction. Right? Jonah wins the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, God is glorified in all of this. It would have been a great ending to the story, but beginning in chapter 4, we read this one word that caused Jonah so much grief, so much heartache, cost him so much peace and so much happiness. And it's the very first word of chapter 4, and we see that word in chapter 4, verse 1, the word but. But. And we know enough about Mr. Jonah to know that that one word is not good. It's a sad ending to what really should have been a sweet, beautiful story. But it teaches us one of the greatest lessons that we'll ever learn about God and about ourselves, and that is, what really matters? What really matters? And here's the key takeaway from the chapter, what really is the lesson of the entire book. And if you're taking notes, the key takeaway is this: what really matters most to God is people. For God so loved the world, right, that he gave his one and only son. What really matters to God is people. And Jonah never got this. He never really quite understood this. And sadly, many times, Christians and churches don't get it either. They miss it. What really matters to God is what really should matter to us. Until we see God for who he is and we see people the way God sees them, we will never understand what really matters. Because once we do, once we understand the mind of God and what matters to God, when we get that, then three things will be evident in our lives. Three things that will show us that we care about the things that God cares about most. Three things, and I want to talk about those three things. How do you know if you care about what matters to God? And if you're taking note, if it matters to you, we should be joyful over a God who loves. We should be joyful. Joyful over a God who loves. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, back to that verse again. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. Now, what is Jonah so angry about? What's the matter with this guy? What is wrong? He was angry over what happened in the very last verse of chapter 3. God had seen how the people of Nineveh had repented of their sins, how they asked for forgiveness, mercy, how the Ninevites turned to God in faith. And so what we see, instead of God pouring out his judgment on the Nineveh, on the Ninevites, he gave them mercy, and Jonah was so irritated about it. He was so angry. Have you ever been, let's be honest, have you ever been frustrated? Have you ever been angry, jealous, bitter that something good happened to somebody else? Perhaps somebody else that you didn't even like. They got the good karma. And you're like, man, they don't deserve that. They don't deserve that good thing. I don't like them. You know, and Jonah, this is what's going on. Jonah's angry. Because God has shown mercy, not just to a pagan city, but a very wicked, wicked city. Nineveh, right? They were the arch enemy of the Jewish people. They were the arch enemy. And every Jew despised the Ninevites. And Jonah was angry because God was just being who God is and did not like it. In fact, we see here in verse 2, he prayed to the Lord. And by the way, I love this. He's really honest. Not the little fluff-up prayers. I mean, he's like, man, I'm going to get real with you, God. All right? You know what? God can take it. If you ever decide to get real with God, or just, hey, God can take it. More than you realize. And then Jonah, he's giving it to God. Okay? I mean, and he's talking to God. And he said, God, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, that you're slow to anger, abounding in love. You're a God who relents from sending calamity. You know, he said, God, I knew you were going to take care of it. That's why I didn't want to go. But I didn't want them to see mercy. Because I knew that if I went, you were going to respond differently to them when they heard the message of grace from me. I knew it. And I don't like it. And if you want to know what the story of Jonah is really all about, we just read it in this verse, that it's all about God, who is a God of love. He prefers mercy over wrath. He prefers forgiveness over punishment. He prefers grace over judgment. Why? Because God, he is a God that loves everybody, including the Ninevites. He is a God that loves everybody, including your worst enemy. He loves them. He loved them. Jonah was saying, God, I can understand how you love me. I understand that, God. I'm a Jew. I'm one of the chosen. I'm a prophet. You know, I've lived a good life. God, I just don't understand how in the world you can love them. That's where Jonah's at. I just don't understand how you can love those people. And think about us. We do the same thing. I say, God, I understand why you love me. You know, I go to church. I give. I serve. I'm a good Christian. You know, I try to, you know, be a person of integrity in the marketplace. And I get, you know, I try to live a good life. But I don't understand why you love them. I've been a good boy, and those people have been bad. We sometimes get the idea that God really only loves people like us. What Jonah didn't understand is that God loves everyone equally. In fact, I believe this is a sign of spiritual maturity. You want to know that you're walking with the Lord, that you're growing in the Lord? If you're taking notes, here it is. The more you understand the love of God, the more that you're filled with the love of God, the more you will love people who are without God. The more you understand it, the more you're filled with it, the more you will love people who are far from God. And unfortunately, Jonah was immature in this area. What Jonah was really showing was that he was farther away from God in some ways than the people in Nineveh. And here's what happens. It's a bold statement, but here's what happens when you stop being joyful over a God who loves you. This is what happens when you are, you know, self-centered, thinking that God only loves me and people like me, but not everybody else. Then you become a spiritual racist. Become a spiritual racist. Let me say it differently. The most selfish people on earth are people who don't care whether other people are going to heaven or not, as long as they're getting there themselves. I got my ticket to heaven, Everybody else, I don't care. I just don't care. It's not my business, it's their business. But God's business is in the business of saving lives. And that's why it's hard to accept this invitation that Jonah gives to his little pity party. In verse 3 and 4, look what he prays next. He said, "Now, Lord, take away my life. I'm done. Just drag me out. For it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord replied, "Hey, Jonah, is it right for you to be angry?" Wow. Big question. Is it right? Who are you? Who are you, Jonah, to be angry? Now, it's interesting to me, you know, here's Jonah, he's asking God to take his life. He didn't say that when he was in the belly of the whale. He didn't say, "God, take me," and he would have died in the belly of the fish had it not been for the God that we find here in verse number 2, that God is the God of grace and compassion. But what Jonah didn't understand is what many of us sometimes forget, that a prophet is just as much in need of the grace of God as a pagan. This evangelist needs God's grace just as much as everybody else. And we ought to be joyful in this room that God loves the Muslims just as much as he loved the Methodists. That God loved the Buddhists just as much as he loved the Baptists. That God loves the pagan just as much as he loved the Pentecostals. That God loves those people on the outside just as much as he loved those people on the inside of our church. And the people on the inside of our church should love those on the outside, because it matters to God. And we always say from time to time, no perfect people are allowed here in church. We're all not perfect. I would say, hey, it's okay. It's okay not to be okay. Come as you are. You know, you come with your brokenness, with your sins. Everyone's here to come the grace of God. We also say it's not okay to stay not okay. You know, it's not okay to stay in your sin. You know, God loves you. God is also a holy God. You know, God doesn't condone sin, but he loves us in spite of our sins. He doesn't just sweep it under the rug and say, "Boys will be boys and girls will be girls." He didn't do that with Nineveh. Remember Nineveh, he said, "Hey, I love you guys. I'm going to give you 40 days to shape up. 40 days to turn or to burn." You know, you got 40 days. And hey, listen, God's grace, it's free. It's abundant, just like we talked about last week. But it's also limited. 40 days. And some of you, clock is ticking. Maybe today is day 39. The grace of God will come to an end when we go from this life to eternity. You have a choice to make. Yes, God loves you. You have a decision. We ought to be joyful over a God who loves everybody in spite of their sins, in spite of their brokenness. We offer salvation through the blood of Jesus to all. And so how do you know if you care about what matters to God? It's because you matter, because you're joyful. You are joyful over everyone that God loves, even your worst enemy. Number 2, how do you know if you care about what matters to God? If it matters to you, we should be grateful for a God who gives. We should be grateful for a God who gives. We see here in chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Jonah goes out and sat down at a place east of the city. So he's in Nineveh. He's done his thing. Revival is happening. And instead of just like, man, God, this is awesome. I'm seeing life change. Woohoo, man, this is great. He goes outside of the city and he's having a pity party. And there he made himself, the Bible said, a shelter, sat in the shade, and he waited to see what would happen to the city. He's still hoping that God would still punish them for their evilness, for their wickedness. So he's sitting there, right? And the Bible says, while he's waiting, that the Lord God provided. It's interesting, right? He provided in chapter 1, he provided what? Remember? He provided a great fish. Now God is providing a leafy plant. This is a good thing. The fish wasn't so great. Remember? But that nightmare, Jonah's worst nightmare in that fish, in the belly of a fish, is exactly what he needed to get back to God. You know, so that was a way for him to wake up. But now God gives him something good. In spite of his grumpiness, and in spite of his anger, he provided a leafy plant and it made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And the Bible says Jonah is very happy about the plant. Very happy. So we see the pouting prophet. He's pouting, right? He's enjoying his pity party while sitting out in that blazing hot sun, just hoping to see the city still go down in ruins. He's still hoping that God will, right? He's still hoping that God will punish. Now, remember, this is modern-day Iraq in the desert. It's very hot out there. It could be 100, 110, sometimes 120 degrees. And God gives something to Jonah that he doesn't deserve. He gives him a large plant leaf that provides shade and refreshment. And this was a gift of grace. It was a gift of grace that he was given Jonah. Jonah didn't deserve it. In fact, Jonah deserved a real bad sunburn. That's what he deserved for being, so ornery. You know, for being angry, being frustrated and bitter. That's what he deserved. Jonah never even bothered to ask God where this plant come from. You know, but we read that he was really happy because of the plant. In other words, Jonah was more grateful for the gift than he was for the giver. He was more grateful for the plant than he was for the provider of the plant. And just about the time that Jonah was just settling down, enjoying his little, organic cabana, the nice big giant leaf, sipping on his lemonade, God pulled the rug from underneath his feet. And look at verse number 7. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm. So God provided a fish. Now he provided a worm. That's no ordinary worm. Look what this worm does. He chewed up the plant. So that plant died. It withered. And now when the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. And the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint, so hot. He wanted to die. He's miserable now. He said, God, it would be better for me to die than to live. God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said. God, I'm so angry. I wish I were dead. I mean, man, that's an angry person. I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you have been concerned about this plant. though you did not tend it or make it grow, it sprang up overnight and it died overnight. Hey, if you want to know what a person is really like, ask three questions. What makes them laugh? What makes them weep? And what makes them angry? You learn a lot by those three questions. We learned a lot from Jonah, what makes him angry. If you're taking notes, Jonah was more concerned about a plant than he was about people. He was more concerned for his own self-preservation than the preservation of the lives of others for eternity. Jonah was more concerned about shade than he was about souls. Jonah was more concerned, he had more pity, he had more passion for material things than he did for spiritual things. I mean, you can just see the heart of the prophet. If it's a man of God, that means it can happen to anybody. We can drift so easily in our lives that we forget about spiritual things. We become self-absorbed that we don't look around and see what really matters to God. We should be grateful for a God who gives us grace, love, forgiveness, mercy and compassion, even when we don't deserve it, because none of us do. Man, we are so blessed. God has blessed us in so many ways. Let's be honest. We have taken it for granted sometimes, many times. Many times we have. We ought to be grateful that God uses us to give that same grace and mercy and forgiveness to others. We will if we understand what really matters, that God loves everyone. We should be grateful for God who gives. Number three, how do you know if you care about what matters to God? If it matters to you, we should be mindful of a God who saves. We should be mindful of a God who saves. So Jonah just said, God, I'm so miserable, I'm so angry. I'm ready to die. I'm done. And the Lord, right, we've already read it in verse 10, but look at verse 10 again. He said, you've been so concerned about this plant, Jonah. You've been so concerned about plant over people. Though you did not take care of it, make it grow, it sprung up overnight, died overnight. And then verse 11, this is the last verse of Jonah. This is where it's, you know, okay, kind of feel like it leaves you hanging. But it really get you to a point. I want you to see it. He said, and God said, Jonah, should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? Now you notice that Jonah does not answer the question. Stops. Puts over. The series is final. It's done. And sometimes you might be reading this and say, okay, what happened, right? But the reason why we don't see the answer is because I believe Jonah knows the answer. What God is saying to Jonah with this, God, Jonah, you are so concerned that the people of Nineveh are not getting what they deserved. But Jonah, you have forgotten that you also didn't get what you deserved. You've forgotten. And so the major difference between the Jehovah God that we worship, the Jehovah God that we sing about every Sunday, the major difference between our God and all the other gods in the world, all the other religions, the biggest difference is this, is that our God, only he saves. Only he saves. It's true that Nineveh did not get what they deserved. And that's the lesson that God wanted to teach Jonah. That's the lesson that God wants to teach us. That God doesn't want anyone to get what they deserve. He says, hey, should I not be, that's the question, Jonah, should I not be concerned about the people of Nineveh? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So as we wrap up this series, as we wrap up this message, some takeaways. Again, your level of spiritual maturity can be determined a lot by this question. How much of what concerns God concerns me? Think about that for a minute. How much of what concerns God concerns you? In the next year, believe it or not, we'll be celebrating 15 years of what God has done here at Lake Point Church. We started the church almost 15 years ago. And it's so easy for us as we do church week in, week out, doing our program, doing all the stuff, and a lot of good things we have going on here. Great. But it's so, so easy to focus on all those things and to miss the most important thing. And the most important thing is this, that it's all about reaching people and making disciples. At the end of the day, that's what we're called to do. We're not called to do church things, play church. We're called to reach people. Every one of us, not just the pastors, not just some of our leaders. God is calling the church. You know who the church is? You. Church is not a building. Church is not bricks and mortars and a steeple on top. That's not what the church is. The church is you. It's so easy to be so self-absorbed about what's going on in my life. I mean, it's so easy for us to get in our cars, go about our business, thinking life is fine, life is good, and totally miss the brokenness of our world. It's so easy to miss it. That's why one of the church of Laodicea, in Revelation, the church of Laodicea, God said, man, you guys are off, great on doing the church thing, but you have left your first love. You don't tell people about the love of God. How much of what concerns God concerns you? The Nineveh. What is your Nineveh? What is your Nineveh? Now, Nineveh is when you walk out of your front door and you immediately lock eyes with somebody. That's your Nineveh. Your Nineveh. In our world, we live in a world where marriages are falling apart. Kids don't have dads. Homeless don't have food. Don't have shelter. That's the world we live in. That's our Nineveh. And if you can, what would happen as a church? Can you imagine what would happen if our church would come together and would say, God, I don't want to run away from your divine plan anymore. In fact, I want to run towards you. I'm going to stop running. I'm going to start running toward Nineveh. I don't care what it costs. I don't care how bad it hurts. I'm going to do what you call me to do. I'm going to go to Nineveh, whether it's my next door neighbor, whether it's the people I work with, the people I do life with in my house, in my neighborhood, at the gym, at the golf courses, at the hair salon. That's my Nineveh. And I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to build a relationship with them. I'm going to invite them to my house. I'll cut their grass. I'll be there where I can. I'll go visit them. I'm going to extend somebody grace that doesn't deserve it, because they matter to God. Can you imagine if everyone has that mindset? Life is not about us. Life is short, and it's time for you and I to make a difference. Make a difference. We need to be mindful of a God who saves. And on the back of your connection card, it has a next step. My next step today, or maybe this is your calling today, maybe this is your decision to make. And I hope everyone in here, this is your decision to make. Say, God, I need to identify my Nineveh. I need to identify who they are. And start praying for them. And start asking God for an open door. I've been praying for a guy named Ron. Ron, I see him about once a month. He's a bug guy for the church. He's a Terminator. Comes around, spray. And he comes to my office, he sprays around. And if I'm in my office, he pops. I said, come on in. And I might be in the middle of something, but I'll stop. And Ron's like, hey, he got the biggest smile on his face. He's a good old boy. He's happy to be alive. He's just, you know, always got a smile on his face. Ron, he's a plop himself in the chair, and we'll talk for 20, 30 minutes. Talk about life. Talk about the Lord. Don't go to church. I said, Ron, you're going to come to church? You're going to come, right? He said, I'll be there someday. I said, come on. Last year with the mafia guys. Said, hey, got the mob. Said, oh, man, I got to come see him. I said, come on, you need to come. You need to show up. I said, Ryan, I look. No, I got busy. You know, Ron, you got to come. You know. Now I'm promising Ron. I said, Ron, if you come to church, I'll take you to the best steakhouse restaurant in the area. Oh, man. You don't have to do that. I said, no, I want to do that. Talking to him about the Lord. He said, yeah, man. Yeah. Praying for Ron. It's my Nineveh. Who's your Nineveh? Who are you praying for? Who do you need to reach out? See, it ends, Jonah. Kind of ends awkwardly, doesn't it? It ends with a question. God said, Jonah, should I not be concerned about the city of Nineveh? You got to wonder, how did Jonah answer that question? Did he ever get it? Personally, I like to think he does. Most scholars think Jonah himself wrote the book, which means he's posing the question, which means, I believe, that he got it. But it's left as a question because it's not just a question for Jonah. It's a question for you. Do people matter? Are you concerned for the things that God is concerned about? I pray this week, you ask God, God, open the door for me to have a gospel conversation. And that's a prayer. That's a dangerous prayer, by the way, because it's a prayer that God answers. You wake up, and guess what happens? You feel the Holy Spirit say, hey, here's the person. And you see the conversation open up, and like, oh, God, this is my moment. And it's up to you to step into it or not. Some of you are like, well, God, I'm afraid to pray that prayer because I don't know how to have that conversation. And that's fair. Because there may be some of you here, I have no idea how to talk to someone about the Lord. And I'm looking forward to it. This fall, we're doing a class, right? I'm doing a class on evangelism. And I've got a life group kicking off in the fall here in about a month and a half. And I'm going to lead that class on how you can share your faith, how you can have a gospel conversation, how you can do it in a five-minute conversation at a restaurant, how to have those conversations. And it's awesome. It's an awesome thing that every Christian should know how to do. So have an old conversation. And so I hope you can plug into that class. If you're like, man, I need to know, be a part of that class. It'd be great. But pray. At the very least, say, hey, why don't you come to Lake Point Church? Invite them to their church. That's awesome. But how awesome would it be for you to know how to share the story of grace to people that don't know God and they come to Christ? Some of you, you're it. There are people that only you can reach that I won't be able to reach. There's a calling on your life to be a missionary to your mission field. And I pray that we step up. God, we thank you for the book of Jonah. So much lessons to learn, but God, we know this, that you're a compassionate, loving God, a God of mercies, and second chances. You're calling us to be a part of your divine plan and pointing people to your great love. So God, I pray you will use us this week. Use us in a mighty way. Use us in this life to be broken for those who don't know you, the Ninevites in our world. So, God, I pray you help us. Help us not to be like Jonah. But God, help us to have a heart that beats like yours. Because you love us so much that you gave your son to die on the cross for me and for all of us, even when we don't deserve it. You did it anyway. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for being here. And a couple quick things, baptism coming up. I'd like to take that next step. I'll put it on the card. I'm gonna reach out to you and talk to you about what it means. If you've got questions, and I would love to have that with you. Today, we're starting a brand new series. I love this. It could be great. The series is called This Verse Changed My Life. This Verse Changed My Life. And we're starting that next Sunday. And we're going to hear from different pastors and leaders of our church for the next few Sundays. And they're going to share the story of how God moves. This is an awesome way to just kind of get to know the heart of some of our pastors and leaders here. And so next Sunday, you're going to hear from Pastor Chris, who's not here today. He had to take, because of the air flights. His daughter, Jules, was supposed to be on her way to Paris, and because of Delta and all the airlines, everything that's going on, you know, keeping delayed. And now they got to get to Atlanta. There's a flight ready to go out of Atlanta tonight. And so she was hoping to get there to Atlanta by way of air. But Dad, that got canceled. So now Pastor Chris is taking her down to Atlanta as we speak. And so we'll be praying for pray for travel mercy. We're going to pray for Jules. They got a mission trip team. They're going to be doing mission trip in the shadows of the Olympics. That could be really cool. They're going to be just doing some ministries right there in Paris to be praying for safety. I think she's gone for 3 weeks. So Pastor Chris, Rebecca's daughter, and to pray for safety. It's going to be the focal point of the world for the next 3.5 weeks. So be praying for her and for protection on that. And we also have Deb Losher, who a member of our church, not quite member, they're going to be a member soon, but Deb is headed to Africa tomorrow, and so on a mission trip, and be praying for Deb Losher and her team, and we're excited about that. So let's be praying for, we'll pray for them in just a minute. But in the meanwhile, Karen and I the past year, been a year of reflection for me, you know, because this September, coming up, will be 25 years of full-time ministry that I have been involved in. And I can't believe, I can't believe I'm getting that old. I'm like 25 years. I remember when the pastor would say that, I said, man, you're so old. Now I'm that guy. It's 25 years. And so part of our time of reflection and a family vacation, so we're headed out today or tomorrow to Colorado for 3 weeks. And so we're going to be, you know, we got some extended vacation. We got some pastoral retreat that we're able to stay at. You know, so we're just going to be looking for that and time away with the family. So pray for us. Pray for our traveling mercies. And you know, the plan was Nathan and I, we were going to drive out there. We're going to be road warriors, drive out to Colorado. And then Karen and Abigail, we're going to fly out Tuesday by way of Delta. And so look like we're just going to skip the Delta flight because we're not sure what's going to happen. And so look like she's just going to be joining the car ride. And so pray for the fruit of the Spirit. Long drive, 4 people in the car. So pray for that patience, lots of patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, love, joy, all of it. We know all of it. You know, it's good. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on now. You know, so pray for it. We're looking forward. We're going to have a great time. And I should pray for that. And we're just pray for our safety. Our prayer team's going to come up here. And you guys can come up. Dan, if you're a guest with us, I'd love to meet you after the service. And got a financial report. If you missed that last week, information table. Mission trip information at the information table out here in the lobby. And if you're a guest, come see me after. We got a free gift for you. God bless you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for what you're doing here at Lake Point Church. God, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Help us as we go about our day and our week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.